Now the important thing is to understand that kama tanha refers to our reaction to pleasure and pain, and bhava tanha is the reaction to the neutral sensation which brings about the idea of being a self. And vibhava tanha is a desire to get rid of being. That comes from the idea of self combining with the unpleasant sensation. When you begin to suffer, then you want to bring an end to this suffering. This is why some patients who are suffering from an illness like maybe cancer or something like that, they want to die. And there are some people, when they are worried about certain things, they want to commit suicide also. This is the vibhava tanha. So it is not only the physical pain that creates this, even mental pain can lead to this. It is another reaction to discomfort that we want to end our lives. So the tanha can come in these various ways. Kama tanha, the bhava tanha and the vibhava tanha. But there is another thing that happens with the coming of tanha. You see a baby, if you give a toy or a doll or something, what happens? The baby will get hold of this and you try to take it out, the baby will start crying. Why? You begin to personalize things and think, this is mine. Whenever you desire something, that is what happens when you fall in love also. You want to think that this person is mine. And if someone else tries to take that person away, then you will be very unhappy, you try to fight also. This is personalizing. So the personalizing happens due to tanha, tanha paccaya. Upadana. Upadana is usually translated as clinging or grasping and things like that. It's not just clinging and grasping. This is personalizing. Personalizing is to say, this is mine. That is the meaning of personalizing. To say, this is mine. That is personalizing. So from childhood you begin to personalize things. You personalize your body. You personalize your sensations that come up in the body, pleasant or unpleasant. Even the unpleasant sensation you personalize. This is my pain. And then your emotions, my anger or my desire, my fear, my worry, even those things you personalize. And your thinking you personalize, my thoughts, my consciousness, everything you personalize. And whatever you personalize becomes yourself. That's the other thing. Whatever you personalize becomes yourself. That is the meaning of upadana paccaya bhava. Bhava means becoming a self. Your self comes into being through personalizing. Freud saw this to some extent because he said the baby, when the baby is born, the baby still thinks that the mother and the baby are the same thing. The baby doesn't think of the mother as a separate person. Although physically the baby has been separated from the mother by cutting that umbilical cord and things like that, but still, in mind, the baby still thinks it's a part of the mother. Mother and baby are the same. But gradually what happens is, the baby begins to realize that the mother is not there all the time. Sometimes the mother is not there, gone somewhere else. And then the baby begins to cry. And then the mother comes, maybe with the food or milk to drink or whatever. So then the baby begins to see, but my leg I can shake whenever I want, arms I can shake. So this body is mine, but the mother is some external person. So gradually it is that personalizing ultimately that becomes the self part. In other words, what is under control becomes what is yours, and what is not under your control is not yours. That's why people, when they get married, they begin to start controlling the other person, because they think this is mine, this person is mine, and therefore this person must do things that I want. So then they begin to see that it cannot be done, because the other person also tries to control you, and you try to control the other person, then comes the conflict, and some people end up the conflict through a divorce case. So the important thing is that this fighting is again because of that, the idea of control. So by personalizing, you come into being. And there is another interesting that happens. Once you come into being like that, what happens? You have personalized your body, and you think this body is myself. And because you think your body is myself, what happens? You begin to think of the past of this body and the future of the body. And you identify that as your past and your future. And the past started with birth. So you begin to celebrate your birthday. The birth is my birth. Birth of the body becomes your birth. And you begin to be happy about being born. But you don't realize that that birth is the beginning of death. Death comes later. Death is something that you begin to cry about. You don't like to die, but you like to be born. But you can't have that. You can't eat the cake. What's that? You can't have the cake and eat it at the same time. You see, the birth is there, but death is also the next one. So birth is not something to celebrate really. You should be crying about your birth, because birth is the first part of death. You see, the earlier part of death is the sickness. The sickness which cannot be cured. Like you are having high blood pressure or diabetes or some other sickness which is going to end in death, what is called the terminal sickness. And then of course that begins with old age, aging, the aging process. is what led to that sickness. This is not the sickness that children get. Sometimes children also can get sicknesses and die. But here we are talking about the old age sickness which cannot be cured and ultimately ends in death. But the old age comes first, and then it is the birth that led to the aging process. And ultimately, when you are young, of course, you think, well, I'll be like this every day. My old people may die, but I won't die, I'm young. They don't realize that the young is the first part of old age. And so, and the youth, the first part of youth is the birth. So there is the birth, the growth, the aging, and the death. And that is what life is all about. And the important thing is that it is because you have come into existence that there is birth. Now people think that it is because of birth that I came into existence. That is how people think. But that is not what happened. Because you came into existence, there is birth. Because you came into existence by personalizing the body. If you didn't personalize the body, you wouldn't have been existing. And it is because you came into existence that you begin to think the birth of the body is your birth. Now, if you are able to depersonalize this thing, you depersonalize your body, your sensations, your emotions, your thoughts, your consciousness, then there is no self to worry about. Then there is no self to be born. Then there is no self to decay. There is no self to die. This is the meaning of Nirvana. That is upadana nirodha, upadana nirodho, nibbana. All the suffering that the Buddha spoke of, in short, panchupadana khanda. Panchupadana khanda means the five things that you personalize. The body, the sensations, the emotions, the thoughts, these are the things that you personalize. And because you personalize these things, you come into existence. And once you have come into existence, you are thinking the body is yourself and you are having all the problems with the body. The impermanence of the body. This is why the Buddha says, eva me tassa kevalassa dukkha khandassa samudayo hoti. This is the way that this whole heap of suffering comes into being. But when you get rid of this avijja, the unconsciousness, because these things are all happening unconsciously. From a state of unconsciousness this happened, started, the mental process started, and it is going on like that. But if you can become conscious, that whole process stops. Because our whole life is a life of unconsciousness. We are not conscious of what we are doing. It is simply happening. It is only when we become conscious of this properly. Why can't we become conscious? Now when I say this, you might think, yes, that is right, what he's saying. But still go on in the same way. Why? Because we are enslaved by this tanha, the emotions. We are carried away by emotions. We are not living rationally, we are living emotionally. We are carried away by emotions, and the emotions are blind, and the emotions make us blind. This is the meaning of Satipatthana, sati. Satipatthana means sati, I told you, is attention. Normally our attention is focused on the external world that we are aware of. Instead of focusing our attention on the external world, if we can focus our attention on what is going on inside, that is called introspection. Look within. This is what Freud saw, that he wanted to look within. His method of psychoanalysis was an effort to look within and become aware of the unconscious processes that are going on. He called it making the unconscious conscious. Making the unconscious conscious. But the problem is, we cannot look within as long as we are reacting all the time to external things. This reaction, which is emotional, has created what are called relationships. The reaction has created relationships. And these relationships are the attachments or the anger. The fears, the worries, the anxieties, all these are emotional relationships. And then we have to get out of this. The only way is to learn to calm the mind. The only way to come out of the emotion is to calm the mind, because the emotion is an agitation, a disturbance of the mind. Now that disturbance has to be stopped by calming the mind, and that calming is what is called the samatha bhavana. Without calming the mind, you cannot understand this properly. When you listen, you might understand it in an intellectual way, but that intellectual understanding is useless because your emotion is coming and obstructing the whole thing. So you have to first calm your mind. That is the samatha bhavana, is calming the mind. Not concentration meditation. I am not saying concentration meditation. Concentration meditation only produces the hypnotic state. The hypnotic state is not able to calm the mind. The important thing is to learn to purify the mind according to the way the Buddha has explained, which is mainly what is called sammapadhana, sammapadhana, the four sammapadhanas. In Sinhalese we say satra sammapadhana. That means sangvara, pahana, bhavana, anurakana. I think I explained that earlier. And the four things means withdrawal of attention from the external surroundings, not only just the external surroundings, but also the memories in the mind, we have to withdraw attention. And then we have to focus our attention on what is going on inside, which is the satipatthana. And with that satipatthana, then we begin to see the inside properly. It is only when we begin to see the inside and when our attention is focused within properly that our mind gets purified, free from the emotions, and the mind calms down. It is only when the mind has calmed down that we enter the first jhana, the second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, and so on. Only through calming the mind. And only when the mind has calmed down properly and we look at what is going on, then we become aware. We become conscious of the unconscious. It is by becoming conscious of the unconscious that we awaken from the dream of existence. Because we are thinking we are existing, this is the whole problem. Because we are aware of a self within, and we think we are existing. And then we begin to form relationships with other existing things. So, that existence is the bhava. And when we are free of this existence, that is called bhava nirodha. Bhava nirodho nibbana. That freedom from this existence is nibbana. When we realize that we are not really existing. It is only when we realize that we are not really existing. When we know we are not existing, then there is nothing to worry about. What are we worrying about? All the time we are worrying about ourself. What is happening to myself? And what is happening to my possessions? We are thinking not only of ourselves, we are also thinking of possessions. Maybe my father, my mother, my child, my son, my daughter, my wealth, my house, my car, or whatever we are thinking of, all those are the possessions. So we have to be free of this emotional involvement, and we have to be able to see the truth about life, which is that there is no existence. We have to awaken from this dream of existence. We are dreaming. It's a dream. It's only when we are awakened from this dream that all suffering comes to an end. I hope you understood that. So now is the time for you to ask questions.
So, regarding this fourth dhyana, when a person enters fourth dhyana,
yes.
You said he is not breathing.
Yes.
How can body function?
No, that's why I said the breathing really refers to the emotion. The mind has calmed down. When the mind is fully calmed, the breathing stops. The breathing stops means, you see, you have to understand that in modern scientific thinking like biology, there is a thing called respiration. And respiration is not really the in and out breathing. The in and out breathing is really taking in oxygen and sending out carbon dioxide and water vapor. That is what is going on. But the real respiration is the breaking down of a sugar molecule. And for that breaking down, oxygen is necessary. And carbon dioxide and water vapor is sent out. That is the real respiration. Now that respiration is necessary for life to continue. Now fourth jhana doesn't mean the respiration has stopped. It is only the external thing called breathing in, breathing out has calmed down to a point where you don't even properly perceive that process going on. But that the process called respiration is still going on.
Existence. Does it cease at death?
Whether existence ceases at death. Well, it then everything depends on your thinking. You see, what is death? What is it that you call death? The thing is, when we speak of death, we are speaking of the body. And we are speaking of the death of a person. This is the normal way of thinking. The normal way is to identify with the body, and the death of the body is seen as the death of a person. But when we are seeing it in the other way, that there is no person to talk about, then there is no death to talk about. You see, we are only seeing processes going on. And the process can go on. You see, if you compare this to a flame, we say a candle flame. What is a candle flame? What is that flame? Is there anything existing there in the flame?
Energy.
Huh?
There's energy.
What is energy? These are terms that you use. If you have studied mechanics or physics or something like that, you'll know what energy is. Energy is defined as the capacity for motion. That is all. What is the capacity for motion? Is that an entity? Is that something that exists? You see, if I have a thing like this, this contains what is called potential energy. What is the potential energy here? Is that something that is existing here? It only has a capacity to drop, and that is why you say it has potential energy. And when it is moving, you call it kinetic energy. What is that energy there? It's not an entity. We use this word energy and we think of energy as an entity. Energy is not something that is existing. Now matter, even matter is supposed to be something that exists because we think in terms of space and time. We think matter is occupying space. Because we can speak about a volume and weight and things like that. You see, ultimately this is why the modern scientists are beginning to realize that what we call matter is ultimately a concept in the mind. We cannot have matter where there is no mind. You see, we are all the time thinking in terms of entities. There are no entities in the world. There are only activities that we can talk about. But even the activity is another concept. But at least when we see it as an activity, we begin to understand. A flame is an activity. It is an area where a chemical activity is taking place. That's what flame is. And it is emitting light. And because it is emitting light, we can see it. But it is not an entity.
But isn't the activity dependent on the body?
What is the body? Body itself is an activity. This is the problem. We perceive it as an entity. But that perception itself is a photograph created here inside. When I see something there, what I see is simply here. We are always seeing things as entities, but in fact they are all activities. Every entity that we are talking about as matter is actually made of molecules which are far apart and running about, and these are all activities. If you try to find out what a molecule is, it is made of atoms, and what is an atom, it is made up of subatomic particles, but the particles become almost, the particle becomes no particle. It comes in the form of waves, and then they begin to see that as just energy. And what is energy? All concepts, ultimately. Ultimately, these are all concepts in the mind. That is what is going on. It is because we have the idea of existence that we have the idea of death. That's what we have to understand. If there is no existence, how can there be death?
So, according to your analysis, matter, also atom, an atom is also an entity, is an activity, you see?
Mm.
So what you're saying is an atom has to be an activity,
yeah.
not an entity. Atom,
well,
or protons or neutrons or anything that is inside.
These
the atom.
Are all, ultimately, the time comes when they begin to dig deep into this, they are discovering that they can't even decide whether it is an entity or an activity. Even activity is another concept.
You said last week you also mentioned the control of emotions.
Say it a little louder.
That last week?
Huh?
Last week?
Last week, yeah.
You also mentioned,
yeah,
the control of emotions.
Yeah.
And today you mentioned it again. And I just want to be sure if I understood well that you can control the emotion through calming the mind, right?
Yeah.
But
No. Calming the mind is not really controlling emotion. Calming the mind is getting rid of emotions. Because emotion is a motion. It's a motion. And the motion is stopped. And when the motion is stopped, it is calm. So when we speak of calmness, we are simply talking about the stopping of a motion. And that is the absence of emotion. So calming is the absence of the emotion.
And how do you do that?
Huh?
How do you do it?
What?
How do you do it?
How do you do it?
Well, we have to go back again. I explained all these things earlier. You were not there, I suppose. You see, I spoke to you. I have to only talk in very short ways. Huh? Our emotion is a reaction to something. Emotion is a reaction. Now when I see something pleasant, a desire arises. I said it happens unconsciously. And that is a reaction. So a reaction is unconscious. So that reaction is leading to a disturbance in the whole body. That is what an emotion is. Emotion is not an entity. It is an activity. So the body is disturbed because messages go from the brain to the glands, and the glands secrete hormones into the blood, and the blood carries into the whole body. and various parts of the body begins to function in different ways. And then you begin to feel it is emotion. That is an activity. But when the mind calms down means the activity stops. So how you calm down is, instead of focusing your attention on that thing to which you are reacting, you take your attention away from that and look at what is going on here. You might see my heart is beating fast, or my muscles become tense, or I feel something here. That is the emotion. When your attention is here, the switch is off. Because when you focus on that, your switch is on. Right? But when you look at here, the switch is off. So automatically it calms down. You don't have to do anything. It is only a matter of just looking within. Did you understand that?
Is that right, that we cannot control the emotion, right?
Yeah, you can't control emotion, yeah. Control means getting rid of the emotion.
Once it's happened. Before it's happened, we had control.
No, it is like, say, you have a hot plate. You know what a hot plate is? You cook. When the switch is on, it is hot. You turn it off, what happens? You turn it off, the heat is still there, but gradually it cools down. So the cooling down takes some time, although the switch is off. So immediately when you look, you see the emotion, but it will automatically calm down because the switch is off. But some people worry about the emotion. The moment they begin to worry about the emotion, again you get worked up. So instead of worrying about the emotion, you have to just wait, observe, and it will calm down. But then memories also come. If it comes in the form of a memory, then you have to take your attention away from the memory also. Otherwise, if you keep the memory in your mind, again you get excited. Any other questions?